Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Seth Habagger.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a good one out there. Good stuff coming up for you this hour. We're going to get into the top things house guests immediately look for when they arrive in your home.
They pull out the white glove. Be careful. Watch out. Yeah, watch out.
We've also got to get into quirky country music song titles day. And that one is audience participation is required.
All right. It is.
It's required. You got to call up and join us. We want your wacky song titles that you love from some of your favorite country music stars. But right now, let's get into a little bit of entertainment music and another reboot, everybody. We need a sounder for reboot. Just to warn everybody.
Yeah, no kidding.
Reboot. Yep. Pirates of the Caribbean is getting a new movie. It is a reboot, to be exact. Producer Jerry Bruckheimer recently spoke about the future of the two of his franchises, Top Gun and Pirates of the Caribbean. Quote, with Top Gun, you have an actor who is an icon and brilliant, and how many movies he does before he does another, I can't tell you. So basically, they're waiting on Tom.
Yep.
If Tom wants to do another one or not.
Exactly.
But we're going to reboot Pirates so that it's easier to put together because you don't have to wait for certain actors. It doesn't sound like we can expect to see any of the returning cast, Johnny Depp, Orlando Bloom, Keira Knightley. Since Jerry didn't share any other information, it's not clear if any characters or actors from the franchise will be back, but reboot implies that they're starting over from scratch.
That's where I was going with that. Mm-hmm.
Good luck. I enjoyed those movies.
Yeah,
I'm a sucker for pirate movies. Have been since I was a little kid.
Hard to do a good one too, by the way.
Great point, Seth. The Muppets couldn't make it work.
No.
With Treasure Island and everything. And they thought that was going to be a surefire hit.
Cutthroat Island, anybody?
Thank you. Another one I wanted to mention, which at the time, starring Gina Davis with her star never being bigger.
Yes.
Pirates of the Caribbean had some great actors. Orlando Bloom is a very strong actor, getting better and better all the time. Keira Knightley, Melissa and I were talking about the other day. Fantastic actress. Mm-hmm. Wonderful actress. Johnny Depp made those movies.
He did.
Oh, yes.
100%.
Absolutely.
It's not even I don't even know how it's even debatable. It's even a question. So if you're going to redo these movies, who are you going to cast to be Jack Sparrow? And what actor are you going to put under that pressure?
Oh, God.
Like that kind of idea. Johnny Depp was able to do what he did because Johnny Depp now wouldn't be able to do what he did with Jack Sparrow, probably. He can still play the role, don't get me wrong. But Johnny came in. This is before Johnny's a household name.
Right.
We forget this. He had such a long career before that happens. Yep. And while Edward Scissorhands and some of these movies are big, there's a big star and then there's an icon.
Then there's superstar, yeah.
Yes. And Pirates of the Caribbean, Disney money, that put him in star level.
Mm-hmm.
But as he goes into it, he's not that guy. He's an independent guy. And so he takes more chances and does more intricate things, like looking at one of his favorite people and one of his big good friends, Keith Richards, and saying, hey, I think that this would make a good pirate.
Mm-hmm.
How many people look at Keith Richards and think he'd make a good pirate? But Johnny Depp saw this and was able to do a lot of that. But I think he was able to do a lot of that because he didn't have the status that he does now, and he's not the actor he was then.
Right.
He's a lot younger. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that too. I mean,
Even Johnny Depp casting him now, I don't know that you get the Jack Sparrow that we fell in love with the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Especially just him being older, just simply being older. Which is none of this is I'm blaming him for. I'm talking. Trash about Johnny Depp.
No.
He's one of my favorite actors. Mm-hmm. I think he's fantastic. But you're just not going to get that. And without him, what do you have?
Yeah. No. And part of it is that the reason that it was such a hit, it was so unexpected. It was different. It was new. That's why people enjoyed it so much. That's why it was so popular. Even the sequels didn't do as well.
Yeah.
Because, you're using the same thing over and over again. And, they did fine, and they were entertaining, but nothing like the first one. I mean, that was like out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it again. You cannot catch lightning in a bottle twice with something like this.
You will always remember the day that you tried to recast Jack Sparrow.
Nice.
Moving on.
I have a pushback to that, though, because I do think there is a book series out there that they could make into an amazing series of movies, and it's a book series by L.A. Meyer called The Bloody Jack Adventures.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
And it's about a young girl who disguises herself as a boy and gets a position as a ship's boy on a Navy ship out of London in, I want to say, like, probably the 1700s.
Wow.
But it's a whole, it's a very long, there's a lot of books, and she ends up owning her own ship and becomes a pirate. And, no, they totally could, and it's a young girl.
I don't know how that's got to be in production already.
You'd hope.
I mean, you got to think that that's. I mean, that's got to be made.
Are they popular? I'm guessing they're somewhat popular, Melissa, because
they
if they've
be.
All
of
the,
so.
the volumes in it, yeah. Hey,
yeah, it started in 2002, and the last book. Let's see, there's 12 books.
Jeez. Well, you got a ready-made thing right there.
Yeah, I mean, you got a Harry Potter level thing there, man. That's a really good idea.
That's cool.
That sounds really good.
I'm with you.
I'm all in on that, yeah. Let me know when they start casting. Let me know.
James is kind of pirate-y looking. You know, he would play a great pirate.
Before it's all said and done, I will play a pirate. I will definitely be. I'm going to do some swashbuckling before it's all said and done. I don't care if I'm 80. You're going to see me flying. The walker. I've got a real.
Hi, Meryl Flynn.
All my stuff is real. Like the patch on my eye is real.
Really
my peg leg is real. The pirate on my the parrot on my not real. Not
dead.
A real pirate.
Yeah, right.
Star Wars brand Blue Milk is hitting stores on April 17th. Yep.
The
Blue Milk is coming back as part of Lucasfilm's Imperial March. Which is a celebration in weeks leading up to Star Wars Day. And as all what do you call Star Trek people Trekkies? What do you call Star Wars people?
I don't know if they ever had a nickname. If there was, I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, Star Wars Day is May 4th, and as in May the 4th be with you. Mm-hmm. Blue Milk is only in one scene in Star Wars movies, and it's in the 1977 original when Luke is talking to his aunt and uncle. But it's popular enough that they even serve it at Disney theme parks.
Yeah, at Galaxy's Edge, you can get Blue Milk there. Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yep. This particular version is vanilla flavored milk with blue food coloring, which of course you can make yourself pretty easily.
Yeah.
But fans might want the merch on it and everything. And
I suppose
the diehard Star Wars fans are going to have this, and they're going to have it, you know, in a refrigerator for like 20, 30 years. They're going to just have it sit there unopened and everything.
Ooh.
Which makes about as much sense as buying an action figure and not opening it.
Yeah, exactly.
That drives me crazy.
It is.
That drives me crazy.
The toys, you're supposed to play with them.
It's supposed to be fun. I don't know. I'll try it, though. I'm going to try it. I'll admit, okay. I'm going to try it.
Just to let you know, there's no collective name for Star Wars fans. They're just called Star Wars fans. Some tried calling us Warzies, but nobody in their right mind accepts it.
No. Weird.
That's weird. And Warheads is already a candy. Yeah, it's already a candy and everything.
It has no connection to Star Wars. It's like you sound like you like war. Yikes.
You can't say Starhead. I mean, that doesn't go any better either. That's
no,
like,
no.
Right, that's like, right.
Galaxy Brain. There you go.
Yeah, I like that. It'd be kind of fitting. The floating door that saved Rose in Titanic just sold at an auction for over $700,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And it would be... I know, yeah.
It's wow.
It would be totally cool if the new owner was able to get Leo and Kate to see if they could both fit on it and everything. I think that'd be great.
Little experiment, right?
Yeah, James Cameron... It still wouldn't be worth the money, but,
we'll
heat
the water up this time.
James Cameron had previously confirmed that Jack and Rose could fit on there, but they wouldn't both survive because it wouldn't be buoyant enough. It's the actual door. It's a piece of wood. It's not an actual door. It's a piece of wood paneling, too.
Yeah,
so
right.
Keep that in mind.
It's a movie prop, right.
I mean, and I that's one of those things, like the excitement of bidding on it, and you win, and you get this, and it comes home, and then it's like, all right, wow.
Now what do I do?
Okay.
How do you display something like that?
I am not going to push back a lot on the collectors. Okay, but specific things make more sense to me. You know, like, say, Dracula's cape from the original 1931 movie. Now, that would be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
But, like, pieces of set.
Yeah.
Unless it's, like, really iconic, like the leg lamp in Christmas Story or something like that. That doesn't make... Yeah, this wall was on Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
Well, who cares, you know? It's a wall, you know.
On our set that the TV show was on, we were all me and two of the other actors. We were like, well, we want to keep things, you know, from the set and everything as heirlooms and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys grabbed like a notepad that was up there that was on the, because we our final scene that we filmed, it was at a courthouse in Santa Barbara. And so there, he's grabbing those things, and somebody else grabbed like the judge's, like not the
gavel,
not the gavel, but the thing that you hit the gavel, whatever that thing is called.
I don't know what that's called.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They grabbed that and everything. I grabbed pens. I grabbed pens, man. I didn't think about it at the time, and we had to get going. They had actual court cases that they were waiting to do.
Oh, it was an actual courthouse. Oh, okay.
So we had to, we had only a certain amount of time to film, but we had to get it done. And we're just wrapping up and everything, and so people are grabbing this stuff. And I'm thinking, oh. And as I grab pens, and I still have these pens, not that you can tell that they're pens from a movie set or anything. I'm walking to the shuttle that takes us back to Berkeley and everything, and I'm walking there, and I'm just staring at my hand with these pens, and I'm like, what did you do? Why? We got better items here than that.
At least you could use them, though.
Yeah, I did.
Useful.
I did use one of them.
Yeah.
Do you think that other actor could have used the sounding block?
No, and he got in trouble for it.
Which is what the gavel is hit on.
Oh, thank you, Melissa.
I knew she'd look it up for us.
Yeah. Nicely done, Mel.
Very good.
Yeah, and he got in trouble for that, by the way.
Oh. Hey, where's the sounding block? What? What are you talking about?
Now I got to hit my desk.
Now, if you do get in trouble for stealing that, do you have to go to the same courthouse and be seen by the same judge? That's got to be done.
The irony. Oh, the irony.
I have one up I can do on you, James. Not that the movie set that I was on was, you know, like in any way comparable, but the one that I was on and an actor on, I saved the cigarette that I had to smoke.
Yeah,
I didn't
actually
smoke it, but I held it in my hand during the scene, and I saved it, but I didn't put it in a very safe spot. I had it in my car, and someone who is not worth mentioning decided to throw it away.
That's I thought you were going to say somebody smoked it.
Man, that was the worst cigarette ever.
Mm. Yeah, because it was like 4 years old.
It was dried out. That was gross.
I'm sorry to hear that, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm glad you
I was kind of mad about it.
I don't blame you. I'm glad you have the memories, though. So that item was the highest selling item at the auction. But here are some of the other cool props that brought in a lot of money, like Harrison Ford's Indiana Jones whip from Temple of Doom. That cost only $525,000.
Only
in comparison, I mean, to the
whip. Yeah, I know, but still, that's great. I would too.
Oh, my God. 100%. That'd be so cool.
His hat or his whip, man, any of those.
Wayne Knight's shaving cream can he used to smuggle dinosaur embryos in Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
$250,000 for that.
Okay.
Jack Nicholson's axe from The Shining, only $125,000 for that one.
See, we're getting to the bargain area now. Yeah.
No kidding.
Tobey Maguire's
black... Much more displayable item.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Tobey Maguire's black symbiote suit from Spider-Man 3, the same price for the axe from The Shining, $125,000.
I'll pass. Because I'll just see him dancing.
No one wants that. And Kate Winslet's chiffon dress from the end of Titanic, same price, again, $125,000.
So wait, the slab of wood was more than her dress?
I don't get that at all.
Movie collectors, I don't get you guys. I don't understand you at all.
I mean, if you're really looking at it, the wood is going to last longer than chiffon.
True.
Well, and I imagine if you're looking at things like, okay, I want somebody, the moment they see this, to recognize what it is. Like
yeah.
You see that dress up in a room or something, you may not recognize it right away. You see the door and you're probably going to know what it is right away. Even I haven't seen Titanic, and even I probably would know what it is. I could see that part of it being, but I'm really stretching here because
it is really.
This whole conversation is a stretch.
It is.
This whole conversation. The other thing about this is, like, I feel like there's only like three people in the world that can afford this stuff.
That's true.
So I mean, I don't know how the people that are getting these things that are not named Bezos or Jobs or
kidding.
Like, that's crazy. I don't know. I do love this, but part of the reason I bring this up is for the fun question of what prop would you want? What would you want from a movie set? We'll keep this question going all week long. All right. You know, because I don't want to put anybody on the spot. I want you to think. think about it a little bit. What would you have? On the top of my head, the jumpsuit that Robin wore for Mork and Mindy.
Oh, that'd be a cool one.
His jumpsuit. I want that.
Yeah.
I don't care how many there were. I want whatever one they have. I don't care if it would fit or not. Mm-hmm. I'd wear it all the time. All the time. People be like, is it Halloween? No, that's just James.
poor deluded James.
Yeah. Nanu, nanu.
You know, I was thinking, I never thought about this before because I never, you know, I'm not one of those people that likes props and stuff, but I was like, well, yeah, let's go back to Star Wars because, you know, that's pretty one of the more prop-heavy movies around there. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff floating around. One of the instruments from the Cantina Band.
Oh, yeah.
That would be cool. I'm sure they don't work, but just the idea that.
Who's the blue guy? Who's the
oh, Max Rebo.
Rebo, man.
His keyboards, yeah.
I want Max and the keyboards. I'll spend extra. I'll spend extra for the Max.
For the costume,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
You know, off the top of my head, I would probably have to choose Inigo Montoya's sword from The Princess Bride.
That's so a good one.
Oh, I changed my answer. Oh, that's so good, Melissa.
Well, that would be a fun movie to get something from. You know, when I think about it, I would like Wesley's mask that he wears in the first part. That would be cool.
I was going to say the mask, but then I looked at the sword and I'm like,
The swords are cool too. I mean, just in general.
You guys are so much better than this at me. Than me. You're so much better than this. That's so good. You're even better than talking than me. We will take a quick time out. When we come back, when people come over, what is the first thing they're looking at? We've got the top things house guests immediately notice when they arrive at your home coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, James here with you.
All you got is this moment. I love the guitar in this.
Oh, so good.
A little picked guitar. I love it.
And, of course, celebrating the keyboardist from NXS's birthday.
That's here right, today.
Playing a little NXS for you. Mm-hmm. Anytime I play this bumper, I ended up getting on just an earworm trip of NXS songs. I just can't help myself. So we all have been in this situation on both sides where you go over to somebody's home and maybe you're tempted in the bathroom to look in the cabinet or something like that, or you know, any of those things. Or if you get left alone in the living room for a while and you're looking around and stuff, and like, what's going on in here? You're checking things out that you normally wouldn't or something. And on the other side of things, where you invite somebody over to your home and they go into the bathroom, you have to, did I put that thing away? Did I? Did I leave the wet towel down? Oh, God, I do. So I think there's some relatability with this conversation. Mm-hmm. And we encourage you to call up and join us for it. 424-2600. One-touch dialing with the Civic Media app. And thank you for downloading the app. Do you do a deep clean before you have guests over because you're worried they'll judge you for being a slob or something like that? Turns out that they probably won't even notice. Mm-hmm. Someone asked experts to name the top things guests notice when they visit someone's home, and how thoroughly you cleaned isn't one of them. In fact, it doesn't really even show up on the list.
Wow.
it sort of does a little bit, but not I think in the ways that we would imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
So here are the top 10 things guests do immediately notice when they arrive. Number one, the scent. That includes good and bad smells.
Right, right. Mm. Okay.
You can't help it.
No.
I think every single house and home and apartment smells different. And
it's true.
Every one of them. And I think that's pretty understandable. Mm-hmm. But the part that gets really tough about that is you normalize that smell.
Yep.
Your senses get used to it. All of my Nakusa friends understand this one. When I first moved here, and we were driving in the Nakusa, and that smell hits you from the
paper mill.
And,
yep.
And everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, how do you ever get used to this? Like weeks later, like what smell? You know, that's what we do with smells.
Do they call it nose blind? I think is what they call that.
Yeah.
They
call it.
It's a great term.
It is good. I like it.
I don't believe I've ever heard that. Nose blind. Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's a good term. So I that's something that is tough. It can be tough to gauge because you don't even know if there's a good or bad smell. Maybe
exactly.
The lighting. Is it warm and inviting, or is it dim and too harsh?
Ooh.
I never would have thought of the
Me
lighting.
Me either. Wow.
Wow.
That's fascinating. And I think it has a lot to do with how much, like, sunlight your house can, you know, have, how your windows are set up and that sort of thing. That probably has a lot to do with it, too.
The clutter. They won't notice you didn't mop, but they will notice the random stuff scattered everywhere around the house. Maybe things on the floor more is what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think if instead
if
of doing
you have
like
to climb over something,
yeah, right,
you're gonna notice.
It's the general pickup, I think, is more important than the deep clean. If you have guests coming over, that makes sense.
Yeah. A dirty kitchen or bathroom. They're the two spots where it might make a difference to deep clean. Just at least a wipe down might be a good idea.
Right, and that's when I know where that's like the first thing I do.
Yep, bathroom.
Like get the bathrooms. First thing I do.
Yep. House plants. Well, I never would have thought of this.
Oh.
If you don't have any, no big deal, but there's something we tend to notice immediately if you do have them.
Oh, wow.
Especially if they're not looking good.
I would. Yeah, that makes sense. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah.
The entryway. It's the first thing they see. So if you want to impress people, make it nice. Maybe replace the fixtures again or add a plant or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or put your shoes away.
So they don't trip over them when they come in. Yeah.
That welcome mat that's been there since 1975. You might want to change that.
That says go away.
Yeah. It's so faded. It just says go.
No, what's
I like a good entryway. I got to say, if I'm ever fortunate enough to own my own home, one of the things that I want to do is have a unique door, like a front door.
Yeah.
I love the idea of that. I like having a unique entryway. I just think that that's cool. Like, I love the idea of having people wanting to walk into your home. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's kind of cool.
The house that
foyer.
Foyer,
yes. Or foyer. Foyer. That's my foyer. The house we lived in North Dakota had, it was a smaller house, but they had added a garage, and they added a room in between the garage and the house that we called the mud room.
Yeah.
But it was really nice because that's where a closet was, you know, a couple of stairs going up into the house kind of thing. And the people could come in, take off their coats, you know, and get their, you know, clean off their shoes or whatever it was. That was nice. I liked having that room because in the house we have now, we have like no entryway. It's just, wham, you're in the living room. Whoa, you know.
My parents have a mud room, and my dad actually right now as we speak is probably painting it. My mom and him have been talking for years about redoing it and making it a little bit nicer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they love that.
Those are nice rooms to have, a separate room to enter into. I like those, yeah.
And a lot of them are in older houses. I remember at my grandma and grandpa's farm, when you come up on the back porch, you'd go into this, and it was just a little tiny square of a room, but you could hang up your coats and put your shoes under the bench, and then you go into the house proper.
Right.
When they would come in from the barn, they'd go in through the basement. That was their mudroom area.
Oh, okay, right, that makes sense.
They didn't
want
to bring the barn smell into the house, so that back entrance was for guests.
That's awesome.
So what we need in every house is an airlock, basically, from space, outer space airlock.
Well, it will help with the smells in your house.
That's true.
You need this for the bends and for this.
Exactly.
The furniture is another thing people notice. Is it interesting and classy, or is it old sofa sunken and full of claw marks from the cat or something like that?
And like, I'm not going to sit on that.
Yeah, but,
right.
You got a folding chair?
That couch looks like it's alive. I'm not sitting on that.
Easy fix. They make furniture covers.
Yeah.
Duvet covers?
Yep, throw something over it. Mm-hmm. Makes it look
just
nice.
Don't make them plastic.
No. Make cloth.
From like the 70s?
Oh, yeah. I had an aunt that you couldn't breathe on that furniture, man. She'd be in the other room and would know if you sweated on it.
Like, man, I'm not a fan of crunchy furniture in any way, shape, or form. No. So, no.
Empty walls. They stick out like a sore thumb. Add some art. They're pretty blunt about that one. Okay.
Do something. Just put something.
Decorate.
I will say, empty walls like bother my brain. I don't know why, but they do. This building is a great example of that. When we first got the building, we're moving stuff into it. It felt great. It's awesome. When we first got the board here in, I couldn't leave this room. I was so excited. I love being here and everything, but I couldn't get over how blank the walls were.
The walls were very bare at that point.
Very, very. Yep. I've been throwing stuff on them like a back in high high school, and it's my first real room. I didn't have my own room really until high school.
Right.
And when I did, oh man, the walls were just
movie posters.
Yes, movie. Yep, absolutely, Melissa. You know me so well. Movie posters all over the place, and every Sports Illustrated like picture I could cut out and put up.
Action shots everywhere.
Yeah. Just it was in the wall, and there was no spot on the wall that was not covered. I had to do that.
Of all the things I have found out about you, James, in the years we've worked together, that surprises me the least.
Yeah, it really does. It really should.
Yeah, there's no wall. It's just
it's
pictures
just,
everywhere.
Yeah, just pictures of actors and movies and all that, yeah.
You know, I love the Raptors jersey that we have mm-hmm. in the studio because it's awesome that they gave us one and everything. But every time, because of where it's hung, and I agreed to where it's hung, but every time I walk by the studio, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It looks like there's a person in there.
My parents have a coat rack in their house they because of the moving and everything, and mm-hmm. they're doing the painting in there, and they have it set up where every time I'm like 5 a.m. I'm going past or something, and it just I immediately think it's
corner of your eye, right?
Yeah. I know it's a coat rack. I've looked at it mm-hmm. a billion times, but I out of the corner of my eye, I see it. I'm like, oh, and my fists go up. I'm like, what are you? What?
Well, we found out in the Glass Menagerie that they are very. They want to be out. Coat racks want to be out there and prominent. In fact, so much that we had to get rid of them. We couldn't. We had to.
Oh, really?
We had to fire. Yes, we had to fire the coat rack, and we put it up on the wall. So you know,
a lot of people. I'm glad this is coming up because a lot of people out there may be wondering why don't I see more coat racks in movies and TV shows nowadays.
That's why.
This is why.
They upstage everybody.
They just take up too much space.
All divas. Every coat rack. And I'm sorry if that is stereotypical, okay? But you go ahead and talk to a coat rack, and you tell me not a diva mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
Just standing there. All I do is hold coats.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I'll do. Don't give me anything else. I'm not going to hold your vest. Only
they
jackets.
They stopped making umbrellas with hoops on them because coat racks didn't like it.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you.
And music. Music shows up in this list. You don't need to have music playing 24/7. In case someone pops in, but it's nice when you're throwing a party or having dinner or something. So they're saying
background music.
Not having music, having background music is important. I wouldn't have thought of that. I would have thought the opposite. Oh,
I love the idea that you're constantly playing music because someone might stop by. I love that idea.
That's great, yeah. That not just good. Playing it for your own pleasure.
Right, nope. Right. No, you have play music you hate, but just someone might
what
come over.
What playlist am I going to play today? Sales
oh
might
my
stop
gosh.
In.
I love it.
The temperature is where we wrap up, especially if it's way too hot or way too cold. Mm. Don't skimp on the heat if you're hosting in winter, and think about running the AC before any guests show up in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just common courtesy, really.
Yes, it's common courtesy. Make it comfortable for your guests.
Exactly.
I feel like
or just tell them to bring a sweater.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah. I feel like the three of us have a pretty good handle of class and you know treating people and all that
right,
stuff.
Especially guests. Yeah,
so I can't think of anything that's not on this list, but I also can't think of any of us doing this. Now there's a line here. We all walk into a home, especially if it's the first time we're there, and mm-hmm. have thoughts. I'm not saying you don't have thoughts or anything mm-hmm. like that about right. this or that or what have you, but actually physically getting up and doing something like looking at something or looking at a medicine cabinet or actually saying something to the guest, mm-hmm. I don't see any of us necessarily doing that. It's got to be pretty extreme for me to like, you know.
Yeah, if I do that, it's just to see something like interesting on the wall, like that piece of art or something like that. That's about the only reason I would do that. Yeah.
Comment on something.
I can genuinely say I've never opened somebody's medicine cabinet.
No, me neither.
I will also admit, though, I've never done it because I know how that goes for me. Like anybody
something
else,
something will be propped and it'll all fall out.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
You've seen it in 100 movies, and that's James' life.
Yeah,
really. It is.
There's no doubt in my mind that would happen. That medicine cabinet could have been empty, but as soon as I walk in there, boom, just filled.
You know, James, you were nice and included all of us in your commentary on what we would or wouldn't do, but I want to point out, I don't think either of you have ever invited me over to your house, so
I think you're a little scared of what I do or say.
Well, and that's because I don't want you in my house, but other than that...
And I don't have one. So
there you go. Now you know why.
We will check in with our news team right now. We're state and local news. We'll have some sports from our good friend Mike Clemens as well. We'll come back. We're talking crazy, quirky country music song titles, everybody. Get ready to call up and join us for that on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR.
We've got nothing in common. No common ground to start from. And we're falling.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. You like to hear 90s songs like that? We got a perfect show for you. Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape.
Hey. Yeehaw.
Be to join us. Melissa, that was,
yay.
That was great.
The enthusiasm was great.
8 to 9, join us on Sundays after Seth Faces the Music for your 90s mixtape. If you want to hear some 90s music, go ahead and hit me up, everybody. James.Mailoff@civicmedia.us. Love getting your requests. And especially if you got some quirky song titles. Like Breakfast at Tiffany's isn't such a quirky one. It's not, you know, quoted after a movie.
Right, right.
So maybe not the most unique one you might have heard. But how about Dirty Old Egg Sucking Dog by Johnny Cash, huh? Raise your hand.
What's that song about?
Yeah. Quirky Country Music Song Titles Day is today, where we're celebrating some of this. Now, I think that country music is the minor league baseball team of when it comes to naming songs.
Great comp, by the way. Yes, that's awesome.
There's I don't know anything that's better. I love other genres of music, and I'm learning more and more about country music that I love as it goes on. But I've thought as long as I could live, since my papa put on A Boy Named Sue, that this genre of music is doing something different. And I love that about country music. And I love that so many of the newish, not newer, but newish country stars, like a Tim McGraw or somebody like that, really embodied that, really kept that kind of thing going.
Country music is more about storytelling.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. And we want yours, everybody. Go ahead and give them to us, everyone. 715-424-2600. You got a favorite country music song, a quirky country music title? We want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Got some good ones here for you, like You Can't Roller Skate in a Buffalo Herd.
I was going to say that one.
Roger Miller.
Roger Miller.
It's such a good one. That's a good one. I Still Like Baloney from Alan Jackson.
I still like baloney. Was there some doubt, Alan?
I mean, what? Do You Want Fries With That from Tim McGraw?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I've heard that one.
That's a good one. How about I Want My Mullet Back from Billy Ray Cyrus?
The man had an impressive mullet. Mm. He really did, man.
All I Want for Christmas is a Really Good Tan from Kenny Chesney. Roger Miller had a couple of these.
Oh, he did.
My uncle used to love me, but she died. Where have all the average people gone? I know who it is, but I'm gonna tell on him. All right. And Lou's got the flu.
Oh gosh.
Let's go ahead and check in with our listeners. Good morning. What's on your mind?
How about Standing Outside the Fire?
Okay, that's good.
Why would you want to stand inside the fire?
Yeah, that's true. That's fantastic. Fantastic.
I standing outside the fire because it makes sense. You know, I don't want to. It's a little hot in there.
Very cold.
And I think Melissa would like this one. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yeah.
I've heard that one. Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
No, I like Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
There you go. I played, to celebrate this, I played Beer for My Horses with Toby and Willie. I played that one. That's a good one. That's a great one.
Yeah, Red Solo Cup, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's another good one. Another good title. Another good one.
But you guys got a lot that I wanted to kind of talk with someone. Do one real quick. Movie props that I would want to collect. Anything from Willy Wonka.
Another good one.
The original, right?
Yeah.
Well, yes, the original.
Yeah. Oh, great idea. Oh, that's a good one. I want Willie's cane.
Oh, his hat. Yeah. I love his hat. Yeah, that was the whole suit.
Something from the candy room, guys. Come on.
What about the everlasting Gobstopper?
Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
Or the golden ticket. I mean, it's just everything.
Yeah, right.
If you get the golden ticket, I mean, that'd be pretty cool. Although I imagine Willy Wonka's is a little run down by now. It's probably not going to be as exciting.
No.
Got a lot of, and I don't know if I want to go to that building. You know, if they don't clear out the traps and everything, there's going to be some nasty stuff over
there. Have we ever figured out the work status of the Oompa Loompas?
Very troubling, by the way. Laws were broken.
I think so. Some labor laws were broken there.
Always good to hear from you, man. Great stuff. Great conversation.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too. That was great. Best listeners in radio. How about Flushed from the Bathroom of Your Heart from Johnny Cash?
I didn't realize that Johnny Cash had a number of these as well. I always thought, you know, not that he was a serious guy, but a lot of his songs, his most popular ones, are more serious. You know, they talk about serious stuff, but I had no idea.
It's part of what I loved about him is the layers to Johnny Cash that he could do such important, incredible songs like The Man in Black and things, and like doing Folsom City, prison blues and doing concerts at a prison facility and everything, and then doing A Boy Named Sue. stuff like that. It's such beautiful. Dropkick Me Jesus, Bobby Bear.
I've heard that one.
Of life.
That's tense, man. I don't know about that one. How about You Done Stomp My Heart from John Denver?
You Done Stomp My Heart. I love it. Any kind of talk like that is my favorite. I love it.
I love when song titles.
You Done Hurt Me.
Yes. Done is new.
Using
you,
done in
You in Done Anything and I'm Game.
Yes.
Yeah. Peanut Butter Conspiracy from Jimmy Buffett or Pencil Thin Mustache from Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, that's a good song. I love that song. I wouldn't consider it country, but it's a good song.
How about Her Teeth Were Stained, But Her Heart Was Pure?
That's a good one. That's a good one. I Don't Understand My Girlfriend from Toby Keith. I don't.
Very honest. Very honest with the Toby on that one.
And Toby's another one. He's got a couple. We've mentioned a couple of those already. Let's take another call here. Good morning. What's on your mind?
How about Finger Popping Time?
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That sounds like painful. It really does. It's not like you're snapping. Are you actually popping your fingers?
The next sound, it's a real good sign. So I don't know if that's something we can say on general.
Right. But it's what we're looking for. We appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much. Have a great morning. Kitty Wells had a couple of these too. It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. I hope my divorce is never granted. And only me and my hairdresser know. Ooh. Those are pretty good.
These all are indicating something. Those song titles, and it's not great.
Not good things. Kind of like this one. You done tore out my heart and stomped that sucker flat.
Oh,
yeah,
that's graphic.
But I think when it comes to song titles, I think that maybe my favorite, other than A Boy Named Sue, I love that song, and I do like that that title. I like a song title that gets you to want to listen to it.
Yeah,
like you hear a title like, oh, I got to listen to that, even if it's not your genre or an artist you like. You're like, oh, I have to listen to that song and figure out why they named it that. I go with Tammy Wynette from 1968, Fuzzy Wuzzy Ego. gonna play just a little of this for you.
It's your foggy, woggy, wishy-washy, fuzzy-wuzzy ego. You see, you had it in your mind.
Yeah. For one, that voice, that iconic, legendary voice, that there has never been another voice like Tammy Wynette. But also, just I love the song title.
It's yes.
Fuzzy-wuzzy ego.
The list of the things she does in the chorus, too, is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's a good one.
Good stuff.
That is a good one. And you can keep giving them to us, everybody. We'd still love to hear some more of these if you want. Go ahead and hit us up with your favorite ones. We'd love to hear them. For now, we're going to go ahead and check in with our partners, and we'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Here we go. Now we can let everybody know the show's wrapping up. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We're going to take it to the top of the hour. We got some good stuff to get to. That ain't right story to kick things off. We'll get to some good stories of the day, some local stuff going on, including a bunch of Easter egg hunts going on in our area. Do want to encourage you to stick around and listen to Melissa's news when it shows up. She's always got things like that in there for you. Encourage you to do that. And great work again, Melissa, on that. We appreciate all the work you put into our news.
Oh, you're welcome.
Getting into this That Ain't Right story, I noticed you didn't cover this one. No, I'm joking, because it takes place in Australia.
Why would she cover it?
Yes, exactly. Have you ever left a cup of coffee on the roof of your car and driven off?
Probably something like that, or a pop, like from a restaurant.
I got to be honest about this. When I was moving into my first apartment, I had never done anything like this before, and I was bringing a fish tank with, and it was empty. but I put it on top of my car and yeah.
Forgot that it was there. Yeah.
We got, now it stayed on there up to the stop sign, thank God. And I got it off there. But I don't know how it did that.
Wow.
I don't know how, but I've done things like this. I'm not, you know, I'm not.
Oh, I think most people have, yeah.
So there's the, but I've never done anything like this. A guy in Australia is in the doghouse after he left his fiance's $2,000 wedding dress on top of their SUV and drove off.
Wait, what?
It happened on Sunday while they were picking it up at the storage unit. He tossed it on the roof to put it in last so it didn't get crushed by other boxes. Then he forgot about it and merged onto a major highway.
Oh, no.
The dress was in a box, so it might be okay, but last we heard, they hadn't found it yet.
Oh, no.
They walked down the side of the highway, but it wasn't there. The bride's name is Linda Kane. Her fiance is Tom, for her fiance for now. I'm just kidding. She posted about it on Facebook and said Tom, quote, stupidly left the package on the roof. They're offering a $500 reward to anyone who turns it in.
Nice.
The good
news, $500 reward for a $2,000 dress.
Yeah, I was going to say. The good news is they are still getting married. She said he's really upset, and she joked it'll at least make for a very good speech at the wedding. There is nothing he can do the rest of his life, let alone the rest of this marriage, that he has to be perfect.
Because poor guy.
Anytime he forgets the garbage, anytime he messes up, this is coming up. And I would do it. I don't blame her. I would do it too.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I think he'd get a pass for all that because nothing could be as bad as losing the wedding dress.
See, now there's the other side.
That's the other side. Yeah, it's true.
Plus, they still have time to replace it if they need. They're not getting married until February.
Okay. They get some time. But, man, but still.
That's rough. Hopefully it turns up.
Yeah.
That's a rough one. I think that ain't right. Yeah, him forgetting it. That's a knucklehead move, and he shouldn't have done that. And everything.
Yeah, right.
But the true that ain't right part of that. Sorry if I blew your ears out there.
No, so we're good.
Hit the headphone button. The truth that ain't right part of it is somebody found that. There's no way somebody didn't find that. It would be laying. It's a huge box.
Yeah, I'm going to say, if you've seen a wedding dress box, they're very large. So,
probably the size of a 10-year-old child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I hope that whoever found it, somehow they see a post and are able to get
able
it to them
it,
and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. That'd be Here's
cool.
hoping.
That'd be cool.
Return it. Even if you took it to the police station. Of course, you show up at the police station with a wedding dress in a box, and they'll be like, what? Do you want us to do with this?
Yeah. It was a good thought, though, Melissa.
Yeah, true.
Looking at a palate cleanser, we've got a good midday magazine lined up for you today. In part one, Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman, going to join us. We'll, of course, be joined by our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Looking forward to that. And in part two, we're going to catch up with Carla and Amara from the ODC. Always love and enjoy our opportunities to talk with the ODC. Going to have a great conversation with them today. And we keep in mind, everybody, we're going to be following Wisconsin women's basketball as they go on in the tournament. Tomorrow we're going to have Wisconsin women's basketball.
Ooh, cool.
We're going to follow the women's team along the tournament. They are hosting Illinois State, 6:40. Our pregame will kick off.
All right.
There is a Bucks game tomorrow, but we're choosing to play the Wisconsin women's basketball team.
Yes.
They're going on in this tournament. This is more time sensitive, I would think, a tournament play as opposed to regular season play for the Bucks.
I agree.
And if you've been paying attention, women's sports is blowing up.
Right.
Like, it is huge. It actually makes more sense for us to cover women's basketball than the men's professional game. And can we all just take a moment and appreciate that, where we are in sports? Like, how cool that is? Seth, when we were kids, never would we have thought that would happen.
Nope.
It's so cool to see. It's awesome.
I'm enjoying it thoroughly. It's great.
We're enjoying
following. I've been confused since a child why there weren't both.
That's a great point, Melissa. I mean, why? Why?
God, we missed you. That was good. That was a good line, Melissa. That was good. Tomorrow on the show, Seth and I will be tag teaming it. We'll be joined by our friends from the Southland County Humane Society with our Pet of the Week. Looking forward to that. We'll wrap up the week of shows with Terry John sitting in. We'll have our Culver Star of the Day. And we hope to be joined by Mike Clemens with a report from him.
All right.
It's going to be fun. Good stuff. Good stuff coming up. I do want to remind everybody, that due to the Easter holiday, there will be no Winter's Farmers Market at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church this Saturday. The market will be back up and running on Saturday, April 6th from 9 to 1 again over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Mm-hmm. It is a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
We know what that means.
What does that mean again?
B-I-N-G-O.
There we go. The game of the dog.
Yeah, the game about the dog. The game named after a dog. I like that. Join our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street. Every Wednesday, they're open their doors at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Not only a great time, great atmosphere, but you can know that when you're spending money at the Elks Lodge, you're spending money on Rapids here. You're putting money right back
stays
in.
Stays right here, yeah.
Our good friends at the Elks Lodge do such great work over there, and a big thank you to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Looking at Easter egg hunts in our area, from the Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis Club, they're hosting their 94th annual Kiwanis Easter Egg Hunt.
Man, when I read that on Saturday, I was like, they've done this 94 years? Wow, that's awesome.
Shout out to them.
Yeah.
It's going on this Saturday at Lincoln High School at 1801 16th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. It will set up in the staff's parking lot, north side, parallel to the expressway. Activities will start at 9 a.m. and the egg hunt will start promptly at 10 a.m. at the sound of the air horn.
And go.
If there is inclement weather, it'll be moved indoors. Keep in mind they'll have crafts, pictures with the Easter Bunny, and games available for kids.
Sounds like fun.
Nice.
There will be an Easter egg hunt in Rudolph at the Village Park on March 30th at 10 a.m. Be sure to check that out. Shout out to all of our friends in the Rudolph area. Love our friends over there. And the annual Grand Rapids Area Merchants Easter Egg Hunt will be put on by the Grand Rapids Volunteers Fire Department coming up this Saturday as well. It'll be at 10 a.m. at Mid-State Technical College. Arrive early to get parked and meet the Easter Bunny. Equipment will be on display before and after the event for multiple area agencies.
Yes, indeed.
And if you are an agency or an organization that has that is hosting an Easter egg hunt, let us know about it so we can spread the word, everybody.
Still got a couple of days. Yeah. We can talk about it.
Give the heart of this station, Pam, a call at 715-424-1300. We'll get you on these airwaves and we'll celebrate your event.
Yes.
A woman in Staten Island accidentally threw out her wallet, but sanitation workers sifted through a mountain of garbage and got it back for her.
Oh, wow.
We've heard a couple of these stories lately about sanitation workers like going above and beyond, really.
It's really impressive.
It is.
A big thank you to them.
And
it's one of those more forgotten jobs that we don't appreciate nearly enough.
Mm. We need to appreciate it. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. You'd know if they weren't doing it.
You would.
A video of a cat taking in a newborn kitten has been making the rounds on TikTok. She just had a little litter of her own, and people are amazed at how quickly she accepted it. She grabbed it by the scarf and immediately went to start nursing it.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
If you need something to make you smile today, that'll do it.
That'll do it.
I mean, that's a really good one, everybody. That is a really good one. And I want to remind you again that our friends over at Quality Plus Printing and Wham have their Who's Your Hero promotion going on. If you have a hero in mind, send them an email, message them on Facebook,
right,
or just message them on Quality Plus Printing, or you can message us. We all know we got local hometown heroes out there. Spread the word and let us know about them.
And Phil even said, you know, if it's someone who's not in town, that's okay. They will send them a shirt.
That's right.
And we're coming up on the top of the 10 o'clock hour, everybody, and that means it's time to be listening for the Ride into Spring Text to Win statewide contest, your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway, as well as grand prizes that we have going on here. Mm-hmm. Be listening for that keyword to text to us. Go ahead and download the Civic Media app and get ready for it. It's going to be good.
Yeah, text it through the app.
Appreciate all of you for joining us, and a big thank you to the best listeners in the radio.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun today. We had
yes,
a lot of fun.
It was.
Thanks for the calls.
Yeah, we appreciate you. You too, have yourselves a great day and good rest of your week.
You too, man.
All right, you too.
And talk to you soon and later. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you later here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.